You walk in tired and hungry, one bad dinner away from losing it. You don't like to cook. You don't want more takeout. You just want something good. That's why there's Dish by Blue Apron. Pre-made meals with at least 20 grams of protein and no artificial flavors or colors, from fridge to fork in 5 minutes or less. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.
Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I was thinking about coming out of the shoot here and telling y'all about my new boots that I got on, but y'all want to talk about puppy chow?
Clint, wait, what is that, ostrich?
Hell no, that's python.
It's Sturdy's Daily.
Before we get to that boner.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
It's one of them old hump days, y'all, on The Drive now. We just want to make sure everybody out there has got that Odyssey app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download that Odyssey app. Keep us on your hip. There is plenty of reason. You can live stream us anywhere you go. You can always catch the whether it's breaking news or you just want to listen on a regular, baby. You can take us with you anywhere you go. And there's also a little rewind feature on that Odyssey app that you'd be able to use right now. You could go back and you could listen to CJ Stroud. I believe we played that about 3:40. And then I believe we had, what do we have? D'Amico Ryans, the head
three
coach,
o'clock.
At 3
yep.
o'clock. So, yeah, you could hit that rewind feature. I'd prefer you wait till about 6 to do that. But nonetheless, that feature is available if you download the Odyssey app. Again, that's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Wow, we're out of the studio for the next 2 days, y'all. Thursday and Friday. Thursday, a little thirsty Thursday with Buffalo Wild Wings right over here at Washington Ave. A lot of
that's
y'all,
right.
I don't know if Washington Ave is still the happening spot around here, but there was a time when that Washington Ave strip was live and kicking, boy. We're going to be at Buffalo Wild Wings tomorrow, which is Thursday. We got all kind of giveaways, obviously. Come on through and hang with us. Then we're going to be at Talliards. We'll be up at Talliards again.
That's been the spot, man.
On Friday.
On Friday, baby.
Yeah, hey, make plans. If you're out there right now, man, and you if you want to come hang. We'd love to have you. But it'd be cool if the weather's right, man. Bring the kids. Bring the kids out to Talliards and let them enjoy the area, the turfed areas, all the different areas, play areas that they have for the kiddos, man. It's pretty cool. So come on out. And make sure you shout at us when you do. Make sure you sign up. We'll be giving away. We'll have giveaways that day as well. So Thursday, Buffalo Wild Wings, Washington Ave. Friday, out at Talliards, right next to the Space Cowboys Stadium. Correct?
Yep, right there.
Right next to it, man.
Constellation Field, right there.
Right next to it. So come on out and hang with us. For now, we got to talk about these negatives, Ron.
You've been so nice this week.
I have. I've been good. But it wouldn't be like The Drive. It damn sure wouldn't be like me. I'll speak for myself. It wouldn't be like me if I didn't watch that film with a little closer eye and maybe catch a couple of things that we got to get right. The Texans got to get right. Ron, I'll be honest with you. I know I'm one. This is not a hot take. This is something that I may be wrong on, but I feel
strong about it.
I feel like it could potentially be real easy to see in about 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm not into waiting 2 or 3 weeks to confirm that my feelings are accurate. I like to put them on out there, and if it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I live with it. I'm worried about Christian Kirk. You got to look at this offense. Ryan, we got to look at this offense, and there are a lack of weapons. There's a lack of explosive, twitchy, high speed, fast weapons on this offense. You got Nico Collins and a bunch of others. You need people to step up. I mean, it's so much so that we are literally tripping over ourselves to get to the mic to talk about Woody Marks. And Woody had a great game. Don't get me wrong. Woody had a great game. The offensive line got great push. I think Nick Caley dialed up some things that got him wide open. I think C.J. Stroud bypassed some things and got him some touches. It was a great game. Don't get me wrong. And Woody Marks is a dual threat weapon out of the backfield. I really like it. But we are tripping over ourselves to get, getting so excited about this rookie running back that had a decent game, a good game against the Tennessee Titans, right? That's how desperate we are for weapons to emerge, if you will. And I'm going to be honest with you. I know Christian Kirk came in here in the first two games. He was injured. And I didn't expect him to jump on the scene and all of a sudden have 20 catches for 400 yards and four touchdowns. Like I didn't expect some kind of crazy, crazy level of production from Christian Kirk. I did expect to immediately see, some of the quickly make yourself available for the quarterback answers that help versus pressure.
That, yeah.
Right? Like I expected when he did get the football in the open field, I expected to see, hey, that's a weapon. There's a little different twitch there. There's a little different explosion, a little different change of direction there. That's the Christian Kirk that you bring in and you pay him $14 million or whatever it is they did, and you bring him in as a number two weapon to Nico Collins. And I'm going to be honest with you. We saw him get behind the defense a couple of times against Jacksonville. He was targeted, I would say, quite a bit in his first game back, but there was nothing there in that game that was like, whoa, that's Christian Kirk, right? This game, he had three catches, 20 yards. And most importantly, when I'm watching the film, Ron, I remember I'm sitting there watching the film. I had to rewind it a few times to figure out who it was, but I'm watching the film, and my man catches a little drag route and kind of gets up the sideline as I'm watching the film. It's a top sideline. I'm not real sure which one it was as you watch the game, but as I'm watching the film, it's the top. And he runs up on a guy, and I'm expecting some kind of shake and bake. I'm expecting some kind of cut back and out run. I'm expecting go get a couple more yards, and it was a little half-ass shimmy and step out of bounds like real Robert Woods-like. No disrespect to Robert Woods. Robert been in this thing for a minute now. No disrespect, but it was real Robert Woods-like. And I'll be honest with you, Ron, I rewound that thing 15 times and watched it. I'm worried that Father Time has jumped on Christian Kirk. I mean, there was no burst. There was no twitch. There was no want to. There was no – it looked almost empty to me. It looked like just a low-ceiling – NFL receiver, like a role player kind of guy. And I immediately start thinking, man, if that is our second best receiving weapon, this team's in trouble. Even if Nick Caley's offense takes it, even if C.J. Stroud and Dalton Schultz and Nico Collins, even if they can get some things rolling here and score some points, you're still going to have major trouble in big games versus better opponents because you literally don't have but one pass catching option that I would say is explosive or dangerous.
Couple things. I agree from the standpoint like, hey man, this offense needs him to, or anybody, but really him, especially the money you're paying him, to provide a second passing threat that allows teams, or at least gets teams to a thought process of, all right, we're not going to just flat take Nico Collins out of the game.
Right.
Right now, I don't think there's any real fear for teams to not just shade coverage, flat just bring coverage to just try to take him out of the game because you feel like, all right, we can handle the other receiving weapon. So they need him to be able to do that. And what he has done in the past, he would be able to crush one-on-one coverage, single coverage like that. The only way that I will back off of the Father Time caught him thing yet is I just don't remember watching him in training camp, in preseason, everything leading up until he got injured. I just don't remember watching him and thinking, oh boy, like he is not moving quick. He is struggling. I don't remember getting that sense. I remember Robert Woods, we were in there like in training camp, like, yeah. Oh boy, like that he's going to have a hard time getting separation. I don't remember seeing that. So I'm just going to think and hope that for Nick Cayley's sake, D'Amico's sake, CJ's sake, Christian Kirk's sake, that he's still just kind of getting over the hamstring issue, that he's still maybe not 100% either physically or mentally, that's maybe what's holding him back. Because, yeah. You know, I think Father Time, if that was the thing, we may have seen that in training camp. I don't remember watching him run routes and do things and think, man, he looks like he's lost a step.
Yeah, I don't remember either. I remember some good red zone reps that he got where he separated. But I'll be honest with you, as we've said a million times, I think it was hard to see anything like for truly what it was, because the defensive ends for the Texans in most one-on-one periods were so disrupted that it was hard to see anything consistently. But yeah, I'm with you. I wonder when you spend so much time on the sideline due to injuries, if at some point it doesn't take a toll and you lose that you may come back a little early, and like you said, he may be walking around gingerly on a hamstring kind of deal, and we may have to wait for that to come. Look, I'm not out on Christian Kirk. I'm just telling you, when I watch the film, it's definitely something that I'm going to watch moving forward. Is in games, is he a real threat? Does he even show up in games? Right now, I don't think he's shown up in a game. Like when I'm watching the Texans offense, of course I know who number 13 is, but it's like there's not been a play made where you're like, wow, look at that. That was big time right there. And so, we need that. And if we're not going to get it from Christian Kirk, and right now may not be the time to have the conversation, but if we're not going to get it from Christian Kirk, does Jalen Noel even get enough run in time to help this offense? Is Higgins a guy that can help this offense, or do they have to go outside the building and bring some veteran in that knows the offense that can be that guy? I just think it's something. Based on my film study, I think it's something that folks should watch. Christian Kirk, man, it's been a rough go.
He's certainly not impacting the team the way that we thought he would.
Yeah, it's been a rough go for the first 2 weeks back. We'll see as he gets deeper in here in the season if he shapes up and is more of the threat that we thought we were getting when you paid him that kind of money. The second thing that's on a negative front here from the tape drop Tuesday is anybody that's in any kind of blocking role in the run game. We're talking tight ends, we're talking wide receivers, we're talking offensive line. Like, I am sick and tired of watching film and seeing guys look over their shoulders to see if, one, they're getting ran up on by the running back, or two, if they can quit and just relax. And I don't understand it. I think it's blatantly obvious. I think it's been obvious. And D'Amico, Nick Cayley, if you guys are listening, this is something that needs to be addressed. It's something that needs to be addressed immediately. It's a quick fix. I'm going to be late on the whistle this week at practice, and I better not turn the film on and see you stopping or looking over your shoulder one time until the ball.
Was it that bad?
It's that bad. It's that bad. It is. It's the weirdest thing, Ron, because I don't know. Like, it would be a pet peeve of mine if I were an O-line coach. If I turn the film on and we throw a screen, and because you've thrown your guy, like your rusher's gone past, and you're not one of the guys that's pulling out in front, or maybe you're kicking a guy out or something, and you don't continue to block that guy, and you don't continue to either push him to the sideline or push him through the end zone behind the quarterback, like, do whatever, but don't quit and look around. Like, there is a lot of, is somebody running? Let me go and get in front of this safety. They do all this inserting with the wide receivers, and then they run up there and they make contact. They almost like they set a screen for a safety, and get pushed back into the pile. And the whole time they're looking backwards, hoping that they don't get ran up on, trying to protect themselves. I'm just like, what's the point in even doing it? Right, get your ass in there, be physical. Move the guy out of the hole, and if you do that, then you don't have to worry about somebody running up the back of your legs.
Yeah,
right. And I mean, there's offensive linemen doing it all the time.
What do you think? There is it a toughness thing, or have you watched on the on the field.
I think it's
and
a
say,
softness thing. It's a soft, selfish thing.
But have you also watched on the film saying, man, there could have been something more that a back or a receiver, somebody could have gotten more.
There's been multiple times. I rewound, I think it was the Nick Chubb screen in the first game. Was it the first home game or the second home? When was it home? Second? Because the Rams were away and then we came home for Tampa, right?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yep.
There was a screen throw to Nick Chubb, and I can't remember who was blocking, but somebody was blocking one of the linebackers, and the running back, Nick, went past him, and the O-line just quit, and that linebacker ran up there and ended up getting in on the tackle. I have not seen the, like, deal breaker that would have been a touchdown if a guy would have kept going or not.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wait and see that. Like, it's a problem.
Well, it's not a good habit either, right?
Well, it's crazy that they accept it, Ron. Like, if you turn the film on, I don't know how you don't turn the film on them, especially maybe not in a team meeting room, but I don't know how in your individual O-line room or tight end room, how you go, hey, man, just put your helmet in your chest and drive this guy out of the way. You're not going to save. You're going to hurt yourself trying to get out of the way. Not to mention you're not even giving me a good effort at accomplishing your assignment on this particular play. But yeah, I mean, I went on yesterday about how the offensive line was better, and it was. But man, I am the tackles and the tight ends and the wide receivers in particular the looking back over my shoulder stuff to see if a play is over or to see if somebody's going to run up my legs is wild how often it happens. Instead of just doing your job and focusing on being the most physical guy. I've never heard, like Cole Popovich and Nick Caley and D'Amico Ryans have talked about being physical at nauseam. And then you go out there and you watch your guys on film look over their shoulders constantly. I mean, just like your guys, D'Amico Ryans' guys, this should be the number one team in penalties for the O-line driving guys to the ground after the whistle. Like, that's what I expect this team to be, given how often and how much they've talked about being being physicality nasty. And finishing and straining and being nasty. And they're just not. And it's hard to watch.
Hey man, they're just trying to survive up there. That's what it looks like.
You allow it, it's gonna happen, man. You allow one guy to do it, next thing you know, there's gonna be several of them doing it. And right now, you got anybody on your edge, I'm gonna exclude the guards and the tight end, the guards and the centers. Everybody else needs a good stern talking to.
B. Scott coming up at 4:40. Before that, one of Reed Shepherd's teammates, wait till you hear what he had to say about him the first day he saw him in practice, and leads us to how important, what does that rank? The importance of Reed Shepherd's development for the Rockets this season. We'll discuss that next.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Hey, this is Seth Payne.
And Sean Pendergast.
Did you know that Payne and Pendergast is both a radio show and a podcast?
Of course I did. Oh, you're asking everybody else. You can get every episode, every hour, every highlight on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts whenever it works for you.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Cubley.
Clint Capella, who returns to Houston for a second run with the Rockets. We talked a little bit about Amen Thompson and how important he is going to be to this team next year. And again, I'm very bullish. And I see B. Scott in front of us, who's going to be going on with us coming up next segment. I said it yesterday. I'm really bullish on Amen Thompson. I feel like we've got potential third-team NBA All-NBA potential from that cat. I look at last year's third team. I feel like, hey, Amen Thompson got a chance. He got a chance to play to that level, especially for a team that looks like they will be winning. But I think right behind him, Reed Shepherd, his development is a truly important thing. Be thinking about this, 713-572-4610, YouTube and Twitch. You can jump in on this. Like how important? Where does that rank? Where does that rank, especially with Fred out? Where does that rank in terms of importance for this team, Reed Shepherd's development? Here is Clint Capella talking about his new teammate the first time he laid eyes on him.
Man, the first time I saw him and we played, he had like he had like 10 shots in a row. I was like, man, how, like, you know, from what I saw, like, I'm like, man, this guy got to play. This guy is ready. Obviously, in this league, you have to, you know, work hard and whenever your opportunity comes to show off. And I think that's his time right now. We're going to need him. And I play with him. And I can see that he has, you know, so much more potential. And he's going to get even better the more he plays regular minutes.
I think that's where it starts. As some people are texting in their thoughts on how much that is in terms of importance for the Rockets, his development. I think it starts there, Clint, with Ime Udoka, and he is a great coach, right? Very much like D'Amico, the number one reason why that Rockets organization turned around and those players changed their game and improved their game, and why they're in this position that they became enticing to a guy like Kevin Durant to want to get here is Ime Udoka. But I think first and foremost, Clint, he has got to allow Reed Shepherd to have the opportunity first and the opportunity to grow into the role, because they got to have him, Clint. It's especially with Fred out, they lack shooting big time, Clint. And he's probably the best pure shooter on the roster. And, I mean, behind Durant. He's probably the best pure shooter on the roster. They've got to give him opportunities to kind of take that role on. That's where it starts.
Yeah, Ron, I'll be honest with you. This may come across as a hot take, but I've got more confidence. For all the reasons that you just mentioned, I've got more confidence that Reed Shepherd becomes the Reed Shepherd that can help this team win. I got more confidence in that than I do Amen Thompson being, you know, all of a sudden developing a shot and being a different player. Now, he's great. Don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking him at all. I mean, obviously, Amen Thompson is a top player on this team. I've got more confidence in what we're discussing right now coming to fruition for all the reasons you mentioned. Like, the opportunity is going to present itself now that Fred VanVleet's out. You ain't got no choice. Fred VanVleet's gone and old buddy's in Phoenix. He's got to get minutes, right? He's got to play. He's got to be a guy that they lean on. I don't know why the hell you wouldn't, right? So the opportunity is going to present itself. He's already a pure shooter, and I think you mentioned Ime Udoka and his ability to develop these guys. Like, I've got a ton of confidence in that whole equation or formula, you know, bearing fruit. That'll help this Rockets team win games. I'm more confident in that than I really am. Probably anything from a development standpoint with this team. Like, guys, overall guys develop, and I think they'll all develop.
You feel like if Reed's on the floor and he gets the opportunity, he'll do what this team needs him to do.
Yeah, I think for all the reasons. I don't know that I'm going to beat my chest and stand and die on the Reed Shepherd heel. But I think knowing what we know about Reed Shepherd, about M.A. Doka, about the obviously the Van Vliet injury, the need for shooting on this team. I think it's all going to come together. I don't think that he has far to go from a development standpoint to get on the floor more often and help this team win games. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's going to take a ton of development beyond just a second year guy that gets the opportunity. That's got a hell of a coach in his corner. And so I think I'm banking. I will be highly disappointed if that don't come to fruition. If Reed Shepherd isn't on the floor a lot, knocking down shots, stretching the floor, and helping this team win games and put up points early in the season, I will be shocked.
Shocked, huh?
Shocked. I'm not saying he's going to be the predominant ball handler and this and that, but I'm talking about doing what you know he can do. Get on the floor, space the floor, and be the recipient of open looks when you've got guys like Amen Thompson. You've got guys like, obviously, Durant that are going to attract a lot of attention. I will be highly disappointed if he's not knocking down open looks early in the season.
He should have them. He should have them.
No question.
And they need it. It is.
Desperately.
They need that, especially with Fred going down. It's heightened even more. I think outside of things with the big three of Thompson, Durant, and Shingun, Reed Shepherd's development is the biggest thing for this team to win a championship. To win a championship, they got to have that skill set that he brings to the table.
Well, I'm glad, shoot, you put it that way. I feel good about it. Then
there you go. We'll see. I'm a little concerned if Udoka will. He don't play defense well enough. All right, he ain't getting it. All right, I got to go with somebody I trust. I think Udoka would almost at times be willing to sacrifice the shooting for the defense of Eason or somebody like that that he believes in. All right, coming up, B. Scott joins us, a little Texans report. As he was out there, you heard him during the press conferences with D'Amico and CJ. He was out there today at practice. We'll get the latest from Texans news from our guy, Brandon Scott, coming up next.
Football in H-Town is on the rise.
I love D'Amico Ryans, man. I tell you what.
H-Town, I'm back.
Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the gridiron.
I don't see no bitches nowhere around here.
It's time for your weekly Texans report.
I ain't laying down for nobody.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, 440 in the building. B. Scott, fresh out of practice, coming from NRG, and as we heard you there posing questions, as Clint said, "Damn, I thought he was going to answer the second part of your question."
Yeah, and you know when D'Amico doesn't answer a part of your question that he did that on purpose.
Like when they said yesterday, which is the latest with Joe Mixon coming off. Yeah, the guys who are able to come off PUP, are going to come off PUP. Yeah,
it would be one thing if he was kind of short with every answer. But he does a really good job of picking and choosing which ones he wants to go in depth on and which ones he wants to go give you a surface level answer. And when you ask, to be fair, when you ask the questions like I do, you don't get to pick the answers.
No.
But I did notice that at the end, and I was at the end, at the tail end of the press conference, and he'd already been pretty generous, fairly generous with his time. I was like, oh, yeah, I asked another fairly pertinent question because what I'm getting at, right?
That rotation at guard.
Is that rotation at guard? Because that's one of the things that
it's
stood out to me.
Strange thing, man.
Well, strange from the standpoint, it'll be strange if they continue to do it, if they continue to do the rotation. Because what stood out to me sitting in the press box on Sunday was, there's a clear difference at left guard between Juice Scruggs and Lakin Tomlinson. And I'm not trying to make Juice Scruggs out to be some kind of all pro or like a protege or anything, but he is bringing a certain level of physicality at that position that is noticeably different from the guy that they have been starting at that job or at that position. So, you know, they talk about getting their best five out there, even to the extent that they're willing to throw guards out to tackle and tackles the guard and whatever the hell. Okay, so have you figured it out? Because it looks like between Ed Ingram and Jake Andrews being healthy consistently for several weeks now, and then the insertion of Juice Scruggs, that looks like your best five now. So, I was curious. Have you found your best five? Are we going to see musical chairs at left guard or not?
It's a plan, game plan is what it has been.
Yeah, to me though, B. Scott, the part that kind of is a cause for pause, if you will. I just feel like I think it's crazy to let a competition roll into Sunday, one Sunday, much less two Sundays, where you're subbing in and out like that. I only say that to say I don't think they're above it. I mean, I think they're definitely smartest man in the room approach to a lot of things, and I think it could be that left guard position. Maybe they are letting it be a competition. To me, it just reeks of we're keeping an extra guard ready. We're getting two guys playing time, and if anybody goes down, we've got a guy that's played, we've got a guy that we believe in, we got a guy that knows the system, and instead of coming cold turkey off the bench or off the inactive squad.
I mean, if it comes down to it, and Lakin Tomlinson's got – so just to be clear here, if I wasn't clear enough, I think Juice Scruggs has won said competition already, right? And that's the younger player.
You know, so more athletic, more physical. I think your spot – I agree with your analysis of one versus the other, by the way.
So to that point, the other guy would be Lakin Tomlinson, who's played enough football. Like, he's played a lot of football. He's a vet. A vet.
Yep, yep.
So, like, if he ain't ready.
Vet, yep, yep.
So, I'm just saying, like, if he ain't ready, what are we even doing? Yep. Why are we here? I mean, he needs to be on whatever train that C.J. Gardner-Johnson and Cam Robinson was on, right? Up out of here if he's not ready. So, I just don't get that part of it. I don't think it's a make or break type of thing, but I do feel like it's a noticeable difference. There was a noticeable difference when they inserted Ed Ingram into the lineup after he had been injured, right? So in this quest to find the best five, I feel like, you know, I feel like they've done it. I feel like there's enough film out there to kind of give you enough of a sample size to tell you who that guy is.
B. Scott with us with his Texans report each and every Wednesday at 4:40. Listen, obviously that was their best game of the season against the Titans, and they're heading to play a depleted Baltimore Ravens team. I'm just wondering from you, being around them all day today, seeing them this week, being at practice, do you get a sense that they feel a different level of confidence, or that they are showing like, ooh, we found something. We found something in that game or in that fourth quarter. Do you get a different sense from them?
Yeah, they talk like it, but at the same time, they also talk like they've already been doing something good, like D'Amico, for example. When he was asked about the offense kind of finding something, he was very quick to say, yeah, we did some good things in this last game. Obviously, they won 26-0. Well, you know, it was a shutout. But he also said, hey, you know, we did some good things in the games before. And I'm here to tell you, they did a good thing here and there, one or two good things. But it's hard to come away from those first three games, that 0-3 start, feeling good about your offense. So maybe that's just to keep the morale up. But yeah, no, I think that they found something, but at the same time, you got to have the caveat of that's the worst defense that they faced. The Baltimore Ravens defense, even though it's not the 2000 Ravens defense or anything like that, or even the 2012 Ravens defense, but it's still probably better than what you went up against last week. And it's got some formidable players versus an offense. Honestly, this is a pillow fight we're talking about here between the Texans offense and the Ravens defense. Yeah. So we'll see who wins that matchup. But I do feel like they
ain't got no Jeffrey Simmons over there. I know that
they don't have a Jeffrey Simmons, especially
with now. Kyle Hamilton is something, but yeah.
Kyle Hamilton's something. Matabike's been out for however long
he's
been
out for the year. Yeah, he's done.
Yeah. So yeah, and so obviously not going to be there. But I do feel like there was some confidence built up, not just in winning the game, because I said this going into it when I filled in for y'all on Friday. I said, hey, look, it's one thing to win the game. It's about how you do it and what you look like when you do it. And I do think that there is something to be said for how they won the game, not just the fact that they beat a lowly opponent.
Yeah, I tell you, I think this week, this Baltimore Ravens team, with the injuries, all the context is important, right? I think this is a better measuring stick game for the Texans than last week. I think last week was one of the most dysfunctional organizations in the game. I think they're quitting on their coach. I think they've got a rookie quarterback. I think last week was one that, boy, if that game would have ended 6-0, boy, you feel awful about yourself. The fourth quarter explosion just allows you to feel a little bit better about getting the W. To me, this is a game because we all thought, right, coming into the season, even with Nick Caley, we all thought that this was a game with Lamar Jackson, with everybody, that it was going to be an L. It was going to be an L. It was going to be a problem, right? Without all of those guys, what does the Texans team that we know we have right now, what does this Texans team look like against a healthy organization? Yeah, they've given up some points. They've played the best that the NFL has to offer, though, right? So what does that defense really look like? You got a lot – their X factors, several of their X factors are out of the game. This is a game that if you look at it on paper, what do they say? It swung 9 points. It swung 9 points because of their injuries.
Right.
Right? This is a game the Texans should win.
Yeah, so
– I mean, and if you don't – if you go in there and you struggle with a skeleton crew Baltimore Ravens team – Then we're back to having real problems.
So hard.
You know what I'm saying? You see where I'm going with this, OB?
That skeleton crew got Derrick Henry on it.
I agree. But you're talking about one of the teams that's thought to be one of the better teams in the AFC. They're missing half their roster. Now you should be able to go. You should be able to go in there and beat this football team.
So I agree with all of your points, except the measuring stick part, because I feel like they're so far behind. I still like
they as the Texans.
The Texans, okay. Yeah, still so far behind. It's going to be a while till I can even get to measure. I look at it as less of a measuring stick, even keeping all of your points in mind, and look at it as more of just an op. Like, this is an opportunity. I think you can come away from this if the Texans, let's say, win the game. Now, if they dominate the game, that's a whole another discussion. But let's say they win a close game at Baltimore. The excuses are built in for Baltimore, right? Like the talking head, the national talking heads. Oh yeah, you know, Baltimore, they're hurt. Yeah. They'll figure it out once Lamar comes back. Once they get whole, they'll be all right. They're not worse than the Texans. But to me, it's more so, hey, look, you ain't beat Baltimore or come close to beating Baltimore in the three tries that you've had at it in prior to now. The three tries that you had at it in two seasons, right? They beat you twice in D'Amico and CJ's first year. And then beat you once last year, a regretful game on Christmas Day. Okay, can you get that monkey off you? Here's an opportunity to go up against a team and an organization, if we're just being honest about it, that is better built than your own, that is just better than you, but is going through some things and is presenting you with an opportunity to go in there and get right. So I'm looking at it like that. When they talk about opportunities, here's an opportunity to go in there and beat the Ravens, not necessarily a measuring stick because they're so far behind the ledger at this point, but absolutely an opportunity for them to do something that none of us thought that they could actually do going into the season. And probably even just a couple of weeks ago, as the Ravens were struggling, but things have gotten worse and worse between health and underperformance. Now it's not the same Ravens outfit that we're used to, but the Texans themselves aren't the same outfit that we thought they were going to be going into the season. So something's going to have to give. I feel like this is an incredible opportunity for the Texans to do something that nobody thought they could do before.
I tell you, B. Scott, if this team is at a point where they can't compete or win a versus that skeleton crew in Baltimore, well, they're a lot worse off than I thought.
Compete is the big thing for me. Like, if they don't win the game, I can see them losing the game. Obviously, it's a pick 'em, right? Whatever the spread is like 1.5. It's a pick 'em at this point. So I can see them losing the game on the road. If we're being honest about it, they're not very good. You don't get to just beat the Tennessee Titans and then all of a sudden you're a good team. They have not been a good team up until this point. So I could see them losing it. But in terms of the measuring stick or the op, however perspective you want to take it, yours or mine, I feel like it's right there in front of you to go out there and at least be a competitive football team on the road, which, just to be fair and to be real about it, they have not been at any point when they played the Ravens. They were tied going into halftime in the playoff game and then got the doors blown off of them after that. But other than that, they have not been competitive against this team. If they can show a complete game, play a complete game, and be competitive against the Ravens, that'll be, to me, a tremendous step for them.
Yeah. I am so like confused on how I'm thinking of this game, because I like both sides. I get it. Like, you look at this, damn it, they came into this thing talking about putting a ring on the bull. Like, I mean, they got to beat this team. they got to beat this team.
Well, yeah. I mean,
then I'm looking at it like, there ain't no ring on the bull.
Well, that's like before, right? Coming into the season, or at least, you know, you think the two teams that have playoff and AFC championship aspirations, Super Bowl aspirations, you're like, if everybody's healthy and everything's rocking and rolling, all right, this is a measuring stick game. How close are you? Like, my measuring stick comment, B. Scott, is more about, like, how bad are you?
Yeah, whatever.
Right? It goes from before like, can you keep up with Buffalo? Can you keep up with KC? Can you keep up with these top teams? To, like, right now, I mean, how bad is it?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Is it the same run defense that got the Bucks ran all over?
Absolutely.
Is it the same one that in the beginning of the game, at least it looked like Tony Pollard was going to run all over, at least in the beginning of the game?
Yeah.
So, like, now this is Derrick Henry.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about something totally different.
That's right.
So I want to see what that looks like.
Yeah. All right, B. Scott, we'll talk to you next week. See what they do in this game where, as you said, they are now the favorites on the road against the Baltimore Ravens. Coming up a little 5 o'clock fire, we'll get you the latest injury report for both teams, and the Ravens are rocking a Houston Astros-like injury report, and we'll get you caught up on the MLB playoffs. That's coming up next right here live on The Drive.